May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. These are words that we heard in today's collect. Send to us thine Holy Ghost to comfort us and exalt us to that same place whither our Saviour Christ is gone before. When first Dutch and then English missionaries came to bring Christianity to the indigenous people of South Africa, they were faced with a theological conundrum. The Zulu, Xhosa, Sotho, and Tswana all believed that God, whom they had named Nkulunkulu, the Ancient One, lived in the ground. For those African tribes, caverns were sacred spaces where the Ancient One dwelled, which is why they adorned them with their cave paintings and lit them with fires. Even today, when a member of one of those tribes is faced with one of life's perplexities or challenges, the sacred ritual they perform is to return to the kraal where their ancestors lived and pour the froth of traditional beer into the soil before asking the advice of the ancients who were buried there, close to Nkulunkulu. The challenge for European missionaries was that they were creed-bound to teach that God lived in the sky. What's more, there was a place under the earth, but it was called hell. And it was where those who had been ejected from the presence of God were sent to live for eternity. These African tribes weren't lacking in religion, but it was the God of the ground that was so deeply embedded in their psyche. How were the missionaries to convert them from the God of the deep places to the God of the sky? One's cosmology is so deeply ingrained that it is virtually impossible to escape it. It could almost be called part of your soul. Witness the anger that was directed by the Catholic Church at Copernicus and Galileo. Their assertion was that the earth was a globe. That was a change in cosmology. And it was seen by the church as a challenge to the foundation of religion. The truth of the matter is that the issue of cosmology, which proved to be such a stumbling block for European missionaries in South Africa, is no less challenging for us as we contemplate the ascension. The doctrine that 40 days after his resurrection, Christ ascended into heaven is so dependent upon an alien cosmology that you can almost hear the sigh of relief from preachers when they realize that they won't have to deal with it for very long because Pentecost will come just 10 days later. The cosmology of the Bible is established in the opening chapter of Genesis. It is a layer cake cosmology. And the earth is the sweet filling in the middle of the cake. Below the earth is a layer which is water. And below that, the deepest layer of all, is hell. Above the earth is the layer which is the sky. And the clouds and the sun and the moon and stars move over the surface of the sky. Above the sky is the highest level of all, and that is where God and the angels dwell. In the Bible's cosmology, God is a locatable being whose normal residence is up there in heaven, although he may make occasional appearances on earth. Our problem is that we know that is a mythical cosmology. Earth is not flat. We know that. And our telescopes have probed hundreds of light years into space, but we have yet to find God. If you look up the Ascension in Wikipedia, source of all good knowledge, you will see a stunning 18th century illustration by the Boston-born painter John Singleton Copley. The illustration is a realistic depiction of the story of the Ascension as told by St. Luke. Jesus is in mid-air. He's dressed in a billowing white robe. His arms are outstretched in blessing. The disciples are on the ground below him, and there is a somber cloud above Jesus, and clouds are always symbolic suggestions of the presence of God. There is no doubt where Jesus is headed. He's headed back up to the place where God lives. Depictions like that are challenging for us. A famous 20th century theologian once said, "No one who is old enough to think for himself supposes any more that God lives in a local heaven." So this morning, as we reflect on the Ascension, we cannot be deaf to the difficulty of the cosmology which is so foundational to the story. So what do we do? Do we give up on the Ascension? It's there in our creeds. He ascended into heaven. To give up on it would be to abandon a core belief of the Orthodox Christian faith. So do we have to do that? I don't believe we do. Between St. Luke, with assistance from Star Trek, and Archbishop Cranmer's collect for today. I believe there is a way to, as Cranmer says, embrace and ever hold fast the truth of the Ascension. So let me start with Luke. According to Luke, on the 40th day after his resurrection, Jesus led a group of his followers, probably about 120 of them, to a place called Bethany on Mount Olivet. He told them to return to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, which would empower them to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Blessed them, and then ascended to a cloud which covered him and carried him out of their sight. While everyone was looking up into the sky, two angels appeared. And it is what these two angels said that is so important to St. Luke's telling of the story. The angels said, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking up into heaven? This very same man," notice the angels didn't say God, and they didn't say Spirit, they said, man will return in just the same way as he left. What is vital to St. Luke is that a man, a human, found his way back to God. Jesus' death on the cross, and his resurrection on the first Easter morning made this possible, but only possible. Now it has happened. The Ascension is a critical advancement of the resurrection. Not only has Jesus the man won victory over death, Jesus, the man, has been reunited with God. Something that had never happened since man was expelled from God's presence in the Garden of Eden. Now let's move on to Star Trek. In March of 1958, the Presidential Science Advisory Committee published a pamphlet that Eisenhower insisted be widely distributed. It included this statement: "The first factor which gives importance, urgency, and inevitability to explore and to discover space is the thrust of curiosity to try to go where no one has gone before." And that passage gave rise to what is probably the 20th century's most famous split infinitive. It's in the title sequence of most episodes of Star Trek. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life, new civilizations, and then the split infinitive: to boldly go where no man has gone before. to go where no man has gone before. That is the fundamental truth of the ascension. And it is not affected by cosmology. The man, Jesus, has gone where no man has gone before. He has destroyed death by his resurrection and thereby broken the curse that man has lingered under since Adam. And now he is the pioneer who leads humanity back into union with God. A fundamental strand to the New Testament's thinking about how we are saved is that Jesus is the pioneer. He leads, and all humanity is swept up in his train. It's true of the conquest of death, and it is true of union with God. Now let me give the last word to Archbishop Cranmer. Some of our collects are ancient prayers of the church, which Cranmer translated into English for our prayer book. But some are his original compositions. And the collect for the Ascension is one of his originals. We prayed these words from it earlier today. Exalt us to the same place whither he is gone before. It's a prayer which claims a promise, and it is the promise that is delivered by the Ascension. We can dare to pray with confidence that we will be exalted to the same place where Christ has gone before. The Ascension is the ground for the Christian hope that God will bring us to himself. The Ascension is the sure foundation of that hope. We have seen Jesus go there. We can believe that we will also. In 444 AD, the Feast of the Ascension fell on June the 1st. That is 1,575 years ago yesterday. Pope Leo the Great preached to the Christians in Rome. And he said this in his Ascension sermon. Truly, it was a great and indescribable source of rejoicing when, in the sight of the disciples, the nature of our human race ascended over the dignity of all heavenly creatures to pass the angelic orders and to be raised to the heights of the archangels. In its ascension, it did not stop at any other height until the same nature was received at the high throne of the eternal Father, to be associated with the throne of glory. A modern commentator said about Leo's sermon, when Christ rose from the tomb, so did we. When he ascended to heaven, so also did we. In Christ, our humanity now sits at the Father's right hand. His presence there is our great promise and hope. Of all the feasts of the Lord, the Ascension is the greatest, because it is the supreme glorification of Jesus Christ, and with him, us also. Amen.